A new message from Savannah Guthrie. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. This is in a new Instagram video. To whoever has her mother or knows where she is, adding as the search for Nancy Guthrie is in day 16.
We still have hope. And we still believe.
There is new DNA evidence being tested from a glove found near the Guthrie home in Arizona. A glove similar to what that man captured on video was wearing around the time of the kidnapping.
And now CBS News is reporting that investigators believe the clothing and the mask worn by the suspect in that video was also purchased at Walmart. We know that investigators say they believe the backpack he was wearing was also purchased at Walmart. Investigators say they've been spending a lot of time going through surveillance video from the local Walmarts here in the Tucson area.
Fox's Alicia Acuna. Homeland Security is without funding a third day and won't get it until at least next week. With Congress on break, Democrats have blocked it, demanding reform to immigration enforcement that House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries tells CBS Face the Nation is
unacceptable, unconscionable, and it's un-American.
But Republican Congressman Tom Emmer tells Fox,
they want reforms that frankly protect illegals and criminals at the expense of taxpaying citizens.
ICE and Border Patrol operations will continue. They've already been funded in the Big Beautiful Bill. Iran's foreign minister's in Geneva talking to the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency ahead of a new round of U.S. negotiations tomorrow.
Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi says he's in Geneva, Switzerland to reach a fair and equitable deal. Iran has suggested it's open to compromise on its nuclear program so long as heavy sanctions on the country are eased. U.S. pressure on Iran continues. President Trump has sent the USS Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier to join a military buildup in the Middle East.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. The U.S. seized another oil tanker, tracked from the Caribbean all the way to the Indian Ocean, carrying sanctioned oil. America's listening to Fox News.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation honors America's heroes and their families, heroes like Scott Abrams. Now, for more than three decades, Scott served his community and country while he was on his NYPD motorcycle escorting a funeral procession. Scott was hit by a bus, leaving him partially paralyzed. Tunnel to Towers was able to honor Scott with a mortgage-free smart home. Please join us supporting the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. If you can donate $11 a month, go to their website, the letter T, the number two, the letter T.org.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. After my husband died, the last thing I wanted to think about was money. Ethos made it affordable to get life insurance. Signing up was fast and 100% online. I knew that I could pay our mortgage and have food in the fridge. I could focus on my kids. No one ever tells you how much you're going to depend on that policy. I am so grateful we had coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Madeline Murray. The kids at Hope of Yuma hosted their 7th annual No Exceptions 2026 concert. The event included performances from local band Downtime, the Gwen Sisters, and ended with the mainline band The Frontmen. There was also local food and drink vendors for the community to enjoy and a kids zone. All proceeds from the event will go towards supporting over 70 kids at Hope schools by providing training, resources, and materials. Hot Rods cruised into Country Roads RV Village for the 16th annual Boomer Bash Car Show. Over 100 participants parked their motorized pieces of art to put on display for all to see. The show was presented by Nostalgia Car Club of Yuma, who put a group of judges together to decide winners for 9 different categories. On top of the contest, all proceeds from the event are donated to local charities. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Forecast for today, partly cloudy skies, 73, winds increasing later to 20-mile-per-hour gusts. Partly cloudy, breezy tonight, slight chance of rain, 53. 73, partly cloudy tomorrow, clear and 49 tomorrow night.
Family.
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 Family is everything.
Family is with us through all of life's great moments.
And for the past 100 years, Shriners Children's has become family to over 1.5 million kids.
In tough times and good times, they're there when we need them most.
It's so good to know that we have a family who cares enough to stand by our side.
Please go online right now to loveshriners.org.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game, marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
Hey there, Jane Lynch here. You want to hear something funny? Too bad. You want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org and donate if you can. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
So, you own...
Fortuna Hills Liquor.
Fortuna Hills Liquor. And how long have you owned it?
So we actually, we're one of the newest liquor stores in Yuma. We opened in 2022.
Okay.
So we're going on 4 or 5 years now.
And who's we?
I guess I'd say we is me, my brother, and my staff.
Okay.
You know, because without the staff, we wouldn't be where we are now, you know?
I like it, yes.
It really is, you know, the people there running the show.
Right. How often do you work there, work the counter?
So, I guess I've worked my fair share for the store. Obviously, it took us a couple of years to build it, like about 2 years or so.
Okay.
You know, we bought the building, and then we had to remodel, and then, you know, create a floor plan and figure out where we want to do our register. And, I mean, we had to figure out a bathroom. We even, when we bought the building, we dedicated the whole building. It's a, I think it's about like a 3,600, 3,900 square foot building.
Wow.
And, my older brother is really big in investing and stuff, so he acquired the property, and then we decided to put a liquor store in there. So it was super cool.
So describe where it is. How would you find it?
So it's on Fortuna Road. So if you're coming down the 8, we're the second to last exit going to Phoenix.
Okay. And so if you're heading east on Fortuna Road, then you would go south? Not on Fortuna Road, on the 8.
On the 8, yes, and then you would exit off, and then you would turn south.
Go south about...
40th, and then we're right across the street from Walgreens and Dollar General's right there.
Okay, so 40th is 1 mile, right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
We're about halfway there, half a mile down after the exit, and we're right next to Little Caesars, which is very popular.
Yeah.
That place is always busy.
Is it crazy?
It really is, man. And it's funny, and that was actually one of the reasons I feel like we're so successful is because of the location. You know, if people are going to be eating pizza,
mm-hmm.
most likely going to be either drinking or, you know.
Yeah, they want something to go with it.
It kind of, you know, so we have a lot. Our customers are their customers, so it's super cool.
So you didn't grow up. Or you weren't born in Yuma or Somerton, but you grew up in Somerton. So tell me a little bit about your background.
So my family was actually from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
They left Iraq in 92. They got to the United States, San Diego, in 94. I was born in 96.
That's an amazing time period. I mean, it's amazing to come from Iraq in general, just because of the cultural difference, the fact that it's across the world. Yeah. But in 92 specifically, because I remember what was going on in 92, Desert Storm.
Yeah.
So can tell me a little bit about that.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I don't really know too much about it. But from what I do know is that my family just had a hard upcoming. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they lived in like a northern part of Iraq, a very isolated village. Mm-hmm. Not really, more of like a very small town, you know. And
did they have connections, or you know, how do you go about even starting to transport your entire family from basically a different world?
And
to,
it's crazy, right? Because, for example, in my mom's case, you know, her siblings are all spread out.
Okay.
So I have an aunt in Australia. I have two aunts in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I have several of my uncles are in Michigan and then San Diego. So, you know, when I was young, I've traveled to Germany to go visit my aunt. I've been to Australia already to visit my aunt. Why? Whoever, what, you know, they had to fled for whatever reason, right? Just hard living over there, a lot of war,
mm-hmm.
no really control.
Do you know anything about the process of being able to get green cards or get access visas?
It's a very difficult process. If I'm not mistaken, the way that my family did it, they did that process where they got green cards and all that. But I guess at that time, they were accepting refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why. And
they had refugee status.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how they came out here, is that, so they actually docked in New York. They're on a ship.
Mm.
So they left. They were, when they left Iraq, they ended up going to Greece. So they lived there for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
And
so they lived there for two years, from 90 to 92.
Yeah, 92 to 94.
94.
And 94 is when they came down here to United States. They docked in New York. They didn't know where they were going to go. So actually, well. Again, when
with money in their pocket and connections in the United States, or what?
Zero.
Is that amazing?
No English, mind you. So we speak a native, I guess our home language is called Chaldean.
Uh-huh.
It's very unique, you know, and they didn't know any English. My brothers didn't. Their first language wasn't English, you know.
And that's a dialect I'm not familiar with. What is it close to?
It's a dialect. It's comes from Aramaic.
Okay.
So if I'm not mistaken, it branches off of like Hebrew.
Oh.
So supposedly they say that Chaldean is the language that Jesus spoke.
Okay.
How true is that? I don't know. Right?
Well, I imagine
supposedly that's
he
what
spoke
they say.
Probably a few languages. Yeah. I think a lot of people in that region did, like Europeans do today.
Yeah, exactly.
But I wouldn't doubt that that's got a grain of truth in it.
Our people are proud of that for some reason, you know. They always say that, so I'm like, I guess it might be true.
I would be too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
okay.
But
so
it's super cool. So like when they were in Greece, sorry to kind of, I don't want to back
no up, I just wanted to get to the story.
So when they were in Greece, that's when they were trying to figure out where they're going next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's gonna accept them, because they knew Greece wasn't the end game. Greece was just a midpoint, because, again, they were accepting these refugees so that they can kind of figure out what they're going to do. Because,
okay,
obviously, you know, they just left everything.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's side, my dad passed away years ago, but my dad's side, they all live in Canada. And so it was different, because you didn't know, you're with your siblings at one point, then you're not. Then you guys are applying to see where you're going to go. And mm-hmm. so your sister goes here to Australia. Then your sister goes to Germany. And then you're in the United States. And then my dad's side all goes to Canada, out of all places.
Yeah.
So we just kind of have family spread out everywhere. But at the end of the day, it was whoever was going to allow us to have another opportunity.
Okay.
And so they came with nothing, man. Zero English, no money, no connections, no nothing. They just, I guess... So in Chaldeans, there's a huge population in Michigan, and there's a huge population in San Diego. And for some reason, that's where they put them all. So when they came, they sent them to two places, either Michigan or uh-huh. they sent them to San Diego.
Interesting.
So my family ended up getting to San Diego.
Nice. Of the two, that's what I would have preferred.
Yeah. 100%. And so a couple years later, after they were kind of settled and stuff, then I came into the picture.
Uh-huh.
Then I was born in 96. So I don't really remember San Diego much. I didn't really get to experience San Diego for what it was because I left. So I started third grade here in Yuma.
Do you remember your parents going through still some type of culture transition?
Oh, 100%. 100%. My mom went to speaking no English to terrible English to actually very good English to the point to where she'll call into like her cable company and just she's good. She knows how to wheel and deal. She's full on English. She's good.
Yeah.
She knows how to read in English, write in English.
So you grew up in San Diego. Well, you're born there.
I was born there. I take pride in saying that I was raised here in Yuma.
Okay.
I want to say that because so I actually left to, I guess, a little bit on me. I have a marketing degree, a bachelor's, went to ASU.
Oh, okay.
And so I left. I went to ASU. I lived there for a few years. COVID happened, and so that's why I ended up coming back into the family business.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the bright idea of opening the store out there, which super successful, you know?
So how did your brother, how old is he?
So my brother just turned 40.
Uh-huh.
Last year, actually. And I'm about to be 30 in April.
So he became successful on his own, or did he, like...
Well, it kind of goes back to, I want to say my uncle had a... If I'm not mistaken, my uncle's had liquor stores here in Yuma.
Uh-huh.
They opened a liquor store here, and then they started branching off. And then I guess to the point to where they needed a little bit of help.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when, if I'm not mistaken, they pulled in my dad from San Diego. So he actually came here and started working here and running the store for them. And I think that kind of led to him getting ownership.
Oh, okay.
My dad ended up taking over the store, paying off my uncle and inheriting the store, I guess working for it.
Or buying it out, yeah.
Buying it out, right?
Uh-huh.
And so it wasn't necessarily given, it was worked for.
Yeah.
And so then after he knew it was sure, he ended up moving us all down here.
So that's how your brother got his start?
Well, so to continue, I guess it kind of gets a little up and down, but, you know, my family busts their butt. They're, you know, trying to figure it out, new business, and it's in Somerton. It's a little convenience store, you know.
What was it called?
Quality Express. It was right behind the post office in Somerton.
Quality Express.
Quality Express.
Okay.
And they did good, you know. And years later, they decided to open another store, which is the store in Somerton now. So that one is called Super K. That's across the street from the Somerton Pool.
Is it? And it's open still?
And it's still open.
But not Quality Express? No, it's closed down.
We closed that down because when we were opening up the second store, my dad ended up passing away, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, my brothers, not sure exactly, but, you know, I have two older brothers. One of them was maybe about 18, 19. The other one was like 21, 22.
Okay.
How old
are you?
About 10.
Wow. 11.
I was a baby, you know. I was really young, so I wasn't in the mix. So, but I guess I'll get to that later, but it's cool because I got to experience a lot of things through my brothers.
Yeah.
Such a big age gap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They touch fire, they burn. Oh, don't touch fire, right?
They kind of act as your father figure.
Yeah, so that's kind of what happened. They worked their butts off, you know, open to close for several years. And
how do you feel like you were received in Somerton?
You know, it's funny that you say that, and I actually had this conversation with Marcos yesterday, and I was telling him that during that time, I had braces, and I was going to San Luis, Mexico all the time.
Mm-hmm.
To get my once a month to get my braces adjusted or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
My mom was taking me. Again, you know, like we said, my mom, her English was nothing. It got choppy. So this is a phase where it was choppy English.
Did she try to learn Spanish as well?
No, but my brother's fluent in Spanish, and I'm not fluent, but I'm pretty good in Spanish.
Okay.
And crossing back and forth from the border, my mom's passport said war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was 06, 07, 08.
Yeah.
Secondary every time.
Oh.
Secondary every time. Every time, you know, to the point to where it was like, You know, it's like, I'm. This is 7 months now.
Yeah, she's probably getting to know those guys by first name.
So it was to the point to where we would get to secondary, and then now it's just like, it's right now, no issues. But
really?
I want to say in 06, 07, 08, I remember strictly my mom was like, why? Like, I don't, you know, I have a United States passport. It just says born in Iraq, and they trip on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, it was the times and... You know, everyone was kind of scarce about our people, I guess, whatever. And so, whatever, you just blend in. And so, I guess, how did they accept us?
Yeah, and I'm talking about, like, the kids, not the government.
Well, so I guess
who knows what the government's thinking at any point in time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 100%. And I guess the reason why I brought that up is more of just to kind of show that the local government maybe was iffy about it, but the people,
yeah,
total opposite.
Really,
total opposite. Like,
and it's majority Hispanic culture there in Somerton.
Yeah, I actually married a Mexican lady, so mm-hmm. You know, it's just I would be proud to say I'm practically Mexican.
And your kids?
I have no kids.
No kids.
I got a dog, which is, just, you know, not as expensive as a kid. So.
Yeah. Okay. So so you were accepted into the culture pretty easily.
Yeah. I mean, again, I was really young. So going to school and stuff, kids are kids. They're oblivious to whether what you look like or.
I don't know. Sometimes kids are pretty brutal. But
I
you didn't experience that.
Not at a younger age. When I got older into high school, when we started understanding when you kind of understand a little bit more about different cultures and stuff like that. And again, here in Yuma, there's very few cultures, right?
Yeah.
It's like a Mexican culture. Yeah. There's only a few cultures,
right?
You know? And like, so, you know, during high school, we would joke around and we would have racist jokes against each other, but it was all fun and games. And
mm-hmm. Sure,
they would, you know, like, I don't know if I can say this, but they would come up to me and pat me and be like, hey, do you have bombs on you? Joking, you know? And I'd be like, oh, like, you know, go get lettuce, go pick lettuce or whatever, you know? So I mean, we were just kids being kids,
yeah,
joking with each other. And I feel like because of that, they accepted me even more because the Mexican culture, they will tease you. They will joke with you. That means they like you.
Uh-huh.
If they're picking on you, that means they love you. Right. So like you have to kind of learn that.
Uh-huh.
So that was one thing that I picked up, that they joke, but they're just they have the best hearts, man. The best hearts. And that's the one reason why I wouldn't leave Yuma, because of the people.
I tend to agree.
100%.
I really love the community. I love the authenticity of the people here. People that come here embrace that culture, and regardless of where they come from. And so they adopt that. They want to be family-oriented. They want to be community-oriented. They want to accept people. And the thing about it is it's all about who you are and your work ethic. If you work hard, okay, you're good to go. Yeah. If you don't, if you're trying to sponge off of society, then that's kind of where you're going to get a little bit of flack.
Right.
And so it takes a lot of work to own a business.
It does.
So tell me about it, being a business owner. What is the thing that you like most about it, and what is the thing that's most difficult?
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
El Dorado broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members, Special Olympics, Las Lavas, Gentiva Hospice, True Med Aesthetics, Fostering Hope, Yuma, Daniel Dorn, and Raw Aesthetics and Performance. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Ashley at yumachamber.org. That's Ashley at yumachamber.org or call 928-782-2567.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So I've been providing the wine for them for the last 4 years, and we actually they just had their wine wobble in February 1st, so it just passed.
Oh yeah,
and it's super cool because I supply over 150 bottles of wine.
Wow.
And I pretty much coordinate everything for them, and it's super cool because they trusted me with that, you know. And after the first year being so smooth, they just kept coming, they kept coming. So it's been 4 years, and it's really good business for us. I mean, it's 150 bottles of wine.
Yeah, huge. That's great.
It's huge, and it's about 2 or 3 week period that we're moving that product. So it's, and I'm usually the one who coordinates it. So it's super cool. That's kind of what I deal with on the, like, now, you know, the first couple of years I had to work open to close because we couldn't afford workers, right?
Sure.
And you know, we kind of built to being able to have a staff, and now we have a full on staff. You know,
how many people do you hire?
Five workers, and then I'm like the floater. So if, you know, any call outs or vacation time, I usually cover them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I deal with like the big accounts. If people if people want to do like a wine wobble and it's a big transaction, I usually take over and I'll just do it. Why? Because I would rather have my team open for my customers while they're in the store. Like I said, customer service is super huge for us, and that's why we've been so successful. It's because we treat our customers good, and I keep repeating that because it's truly why we're so successful.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for my staff to kind of keep that same culture within the business, that, you know, we're very customer oriented and it's always customer first. So that's why I try to take if it's gonna pull them away from my customers to make a phone call about the wine wobble, let me do it. I'll take care of it. So you guys can be out on the floor. You guys can take care of the customers, and we can keep that good experience for our customers every time.
Tell me what your thoughts are on small businesses like this and the patriotism or the link that they have to the community because of the ownership interest that they have.
Honestly, I'm grateful to be here in this country to have opportunities like this. You know, like we've mentioned, you know, my family came with nothing and then we've built to something, you know, and I just don't think you could do that in many places in the world, you know. So I take pride. I'm proud to say
You're being scrutinized pretty heavily because of the industry that you're in, right? It's a heavily regulated industry.
Super regulated.
But even with that, you feel like you still have opportunity.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. And it's just the opportunity is always there. You got to work for it. You know, nothing's ever going to kind of get handed to you, but you got to work for it. You got to treat people good. You got
to compare yourself to, you know, somebody that comes in and opens up like this Amazon warehouse. Now, I've got nothing against Amazon. I think I shop on it every day. And I think that it provides an amazing service. It makes our lives more convenient. But I don't think that the people owning that warehouse have the same link to the community.
Oh.
And neither do the people working in the warehouse have the same type of fidelity to their work and the community, where they link the two together, right? The commerce with the actual people.
And not all of the franchises are like that. Like, some of them are kind of, like, for example, when Bubba's open, the new Bubba's 33,
yeah.
They reach out to local people. Hey, we want to get high school merch, if I'm not mistaken, and stuff like that. So they were trying to, you know, fit in, right? You know, so sometimes, you know, these franchises are good because it gives investors or like local people like me knowing, okay, Yuma's growing. That means we're going to continue growing with it. But it's
I have nothing against big business in itself, no, but you have good. To have the mom and pop integration because that's the ownership of the property in the community, feeding the money back into the community. There's a statistic out there that a dollar spent in Yuma gets respent 5 times, whereas a dollar spent somewhere else, like buying it online, is gone from Yuma, right?
So to kind of piggyback off you, if local businesses weren't alive here in Yuma, Yuma wouldn't be as strong as it is because, for example, we're a seasonal town, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge influx of population that comes in throughout certain times of the month.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? That means they're bringing outside money into our economy. When you spend it with a mom and pop shop, that money that was never in our economy is now in our economy, and it stays because, you know, I'm going to continue spending my money here.
Yeah. You're buying groceries here.
Groceries here.
You're buying your clothes, your gas.
Yeah. Clothes, you know, and I don't like ordering things online, you know.
Really?
So I'm like a type of person that I like to, you know, I like to interact, you know, I like to be involved. I like to try clothes on if I'm going to buy it, right? If I'm going to buy sunglasses, I like to put them on.
I can see that you've got some nice merch.
Yeah.
You sell it?
Yeah. So we have, so honestly, we've been giving them out for the longest time. So, and why? Because it's super cool to, I'll go out into this, you know, to the grocery store or something, and I'll see somebody wearing my hat or my shirt.
It is.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
Yeah.
So we weren't selling them. We were just giving them out to our customers, again, because we just wanted to show that, hey, we're here. We're here for you guys.
What do you got to do? What do I got to do to get a hat or a shirt?
So we don't have any at the moment. We're in the process of making some. We're actually going to up our quality a little bit because we want to start selling some merch.
It looks pretty good to me. Who do you have do it?
We have our connections. We have our connections.
Okay.
But, you know, we have our people. And again, being in business for 20 plus years in Yuma, and I say 20 plus because I'm piggybacking off my family. Piggyback off my brother because for example, there's several things that if I need something done at the store, I know I can call my brother. Hey, like, I need an electrician or I need a plumber or I need this, you know, and vice versa. Because we see so many people. And I guess I don't want to get off topic, but my customers are older. They're experienced. They've done so much. The majority of my handyman work is my customers. You know, hey, I can't remember what it was. I think it was a light fixture. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm a retired electrician. He got up there. Boop, 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 boop.
These guys are amazing.
60-year-old, yeah.
Well,
whatever he's buying that day.
They grew up in the era that if you wanted it fixed or you wanted it done, you did it.
Yeah.
And that ability just to go and do it instead of contract it out is within them. And
well, we build a relationship.
They have a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, and we build it. It's a relationship aspect of me. Of course I can afford to hire an electrician, but like if it's really a
not
simple
the same though
it's not the same, you know, to know that the next time he comes in he could be like, yeah, like I'm a customer here, but I'm also, you know, like I help him do this or that, whatever like it may be, you know. So that's just the type of person that I am. I always tell my customers when they're there, they're home, you know. I want them to feel like it's a safe zone. And it's taboo for a liquor store because, you know, people think of a liquor store, they're going to think of like, you know, I guess like riffraff, ghetto.
Sometimes.
We're a very high-end type of liquor store.
Yeah.
We have a lot of allocated whiskeys. We have a lot of high-end liquor that no other... A lot of stores in Yuma do get it, but we definitely have the largest selection. And it's because of how, you know, it's all based off volume. So the more you
have you ever been scared because you're open late at night that someone's going to come in and try to hold up the store?
I don't know if I can say it, but all my guys carry. So
okay. No, that's good.
So
that actually makes you feel safer.
Yeah.
Because if somebody that knows how to use a gun is there and I'm in the store and somebody else comes in to hold up the store, I want to know the good guy's got a gun too.
So it's funny that you bring that up because so obviously we all carry, and it's just for our own safety.
Yeah.
And
I love it. I wish more people did carry trained to use it properly. I would feel safer in society if that was the case.
What's funny is the majority of my customers all carry.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and they're open carry type of customers, you know.
I love that. Like, when they're wearing it on their hip.
Yeah. And so when we first opened.
Is there any law about that walking into your store?
I think it's up to me.
Okay.
But well, it ought to be safer. I don't care.
It ought to be. It's your property.
Yeah, yeah. It's me. That's what I love. I love this country so much because you can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, Randy, it was wonderful having you on the show. We've run out of time. But any last parting words of wisdom that you want to leave us with?
No, I just want to say support local. You know, keep on going, guys. The world is full of hate. So let's spread the love and let's, you know, just show a lot of respect to each other. And that's all we can do, you know.
I like
stay in
that.
Your lane. Yeah. Stay in your lane. Control what
you
control.
There's enough hate. Let's put some more love and respect out there.
Let's put some love. And I did want to say this, too. I guess I didn't get to mention it. We've won Yuma's Best Liquor Store 3 years in a row.
Nice. Congratulations.
We're hoping to make it a four-peat this year. So we might find out some good news, hopefully, here in the next few weeks.
Well done.
Yeah, man. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you guys having me. This is super, super cool. Maybe we'll do it again.
Absolutely.
Awesome, man. Thank you guys so much.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There's nothing like Sprague Sports. With local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. And there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training classes, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter's Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has 15 lanes of certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. That's Sprague Sports, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Responsible gun ownership since 1956. 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
Thanks to your support, the nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now, we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to vettix.org and firsttix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
So, the thing for me is that since I was young, business has just been in my family.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And my family has been in many different types of businesses, restaurants or cell phone businesses, whatever it may be. And I kind of got to see them grow from, you know, one mom and pop store to, like, you know, several businesses and investment properties. And so I've been working since I was like 13, 14.
Right.
You know? Maybe younger than that. I mean, I remember when my dad was around, I would sweep him off the store. So I just always had that work ethic in me.
Did you feel picked on because you had to do that? Because not all of your friends were working like that, right?
No, I remember, and Marcos can attest to this. It's funny. They would go knock on my door and tell my mom, he's a kid. Don't let him work. Let him come play with us, because I was always at the store.
Yeah.
You know, they would pick me up from school. I would go to work. I'd do my homework there, whatever. And then I would work, and then – this was during that phase. We had a cell phone store as well when I was in high school. We used to have like a Boost Mobile type of store.
All right.
And so that was a very small venture that my family did, and it was fun. And so I kind of got to get into that, so which was cool, because when I went to college, I stuck to that industry. Mm-hmm. So I just worked for like Sprint and Verizon, all these customer service, just stuck to retail because that's what I was in all my life, you know?
So you were actually in a retail store working hourly wages. Of course, you get commission for phones that you sell.
Making really good money. Mm-hmm. I was holding my own out there in Phoenix. The first like year or so, my family helped me a lot, obviously, to make sure to get me on my feet out there. And
did you get a scholarship to ASU?
No scholarship. It was all we paid out of pocket for it. But again, you know, coming from, you know, my family having nothing to what we have now, you know, thankfully we
That's one generation.
We could afford it. Yeah.
That's yeah. And so it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And to go back to like the work, I think that so got my degree, worked for other people, worked for my family first, worked for other people, you know, learned a lot, right? Came back here when me and my brother, because me and my brother are partnered into this to the Foothill store, and when we opened it up, we busted our butt. The first 2 years it took us to open it up, remodel and all that nonsense, and then when we actually opened, it was just me working, and then because my brother has other things that he has to attend to, so that was the agreement. I would run the store because my brother's like, because I wanted to open the business, you know, I wanted to do something else, and my brother was
like, I don't have enough time. He's so like, put in the sweat
he's
equity.
Like, you know, step up and let's do it, you know. Uh-huh. That's what I had to do, and so the first 2 years. It was just me and one other of my workers, Rick. So he's actually my manager now for the store. So when I'm not there, he's me, right?
Okay.
I would open and he would close. We did that for, so he was working 6 days out of the week as my closer. Mm-hmm. I was working 7 days. One day I'd open and close. And then, the other days I would open and then he would close.
About so how many hours a week?
About 100 hours a week. Wow. Remember, we're a liquor store. Our hours, thankfully, in the foothills, and you're relatively close to the foothills. I'm not sure if you're out there.
Yeah, right here by the.
So you're in this area. So you know the demographics here. Yeah. A lot of older people, retired, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So
caters to my business.
Yeah, exactly. and yeah, it really does. It really does. But sorry, I lost my train of thought.
It was the work. The amount of time, what time would you open in the morning?
Yeah, so the hours, because of the demographics, our hours are a little bit short. And most liquor stores, they'll open from 6 in the morning to 2 at night because those are the law. Those are the, I guess, hours you can sell alcohol, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can't sell alcohol at 5 in the morning.
No.
Interesting.
And there was actually, not to get off topic, but there was one point in time, I remember growing up, on Sundays, you couldn't sell alcohol till 10.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was actually when my dad was still around. I remember that I was a young kid. That's when I was still sweeping and mopping. But yeah, so the demographics here are a little bit different. So my hours are a little bit shorter. So even though I had shorter hours, and I say short, it's still 8 in the morning till 10 at night.
Uh-huh.
Talking about 14 to 16 days, 16 hours.
That mentality is just a complete flip, I think, of what the young, what do we call your generation, Martine? Gen Z? So Gen Z is coming in with the expectations. They want to work 40 hours a week. To them, looks like a death sentence.
Yeah, pay time off. They want full vacation, benefits and everything, right?
And I initially, when I got out of school, even when I was in school, I worked full time and I went to school. And so a 100-hour work week, considering school being work, part of my work, was pretty normal. And I look at people that we hire today, and at first it was with frustration. It was like they're lazy. They don't want to work. But it's not. It's our culture has changed.
Yeah.
And so they've come up with a different mentality, and it's not the amount of hours in the day. It's like what they bring to the table. And they don't work as part of their life. They work to get to their life.
Right.
And I can't say what's right or wrong. I can say it's frustrating sometimes when we've got work to do and I don't have people like lining up to do it. That frustrates me. But it's interesting, and I don't know what we do as a society with that, because technology has replaced a lot of the necessity for manual labor. Mm-hmm. Have you found that in your business, that technology has allowed you to do a lot more with less human resources?
You know, because the liquor business is so simple, it's just inventory, counting the items, and, you know, your profit margins. It's really, really simple. There's not really much to it.
Mm-hmm.
A liquor for my type of business, it's more labor intensive than really things that are that need to happen outside of the business for it to operate. You know,
the robots aren't going to replace you.
Nothing. No, my, you know, I guess the only thing that I can ever see, which I would never do because I hate this, but like maybe self checkout, I guess. Yeah,
that's what I was going towards.
Maybe like something like that. But so a little bit about the way I operate my business is customer service based. So I treat my people really, really well.
And you have your, you have people that you know by first name.
Oh yeah.
And they know you.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. 100%. And not only me, which is the cool thing, all my workers too.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have, you know, in the beginning it was just me and Rick. So I literally, it was so cool because I got to meet literally every single one of my customers.
Yeah.
People don't understand how valuable that is because they get to, you know, they would always ask it, you know, I'm a younger cat, whatever, dealing with a lot of older people. You learn, you mature fast, you know, and me as a young person, you know, trying to, you know, if a customer comes in, they have gray hairs on their head, right? They have experience, and then they come in and, you know, and they're trying to exchange something or return something. And long story short, if I have to kind of de-escalate a situation, they're not going to listen. It's really hard for them to listen to this young buck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really imperative to have good spirits, be good to people, and always know that there won't really, because we never really have any bad situations at the store because we treat our customers so well.
Yeah, that's good.
And even if they're, again, they don't, they wouldn't listen to me. These are, you know what I mean? These people are retired and my customers are.
Do they tell you their stories? I mean, are you kind of like a bartender in that sense? It's a little funny.
It becomes a social club. So I have customers that will come in and they'll just hang out, you know, they'll just chill. And, or they're, because it's such a slow paced environment and you know this.
I've noticed that.
No urgency. You know,
it's much different than going into a Circle K or even a Walmart. Yeah. It's you walk in there and it's okay. Take your time. We're going to make sure that, you know, everything's going right. Of course, you got to check IDs and things like that. With a lot of your clientele, I mean, is an ID thing really a big thing? I mean,
funny that you bring.
They're probably looking like if they're 60 or 70 years old, do you still check their ID?
Funny that you say that. So one of my very first customers after we opened, actually, he came to me as older gentleman. I mean, old, had to be like 70 plus, right? Okay. Super old.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you're a new liquor store, blah, blah. He's like, I will shop with you guys, but I have one question for you. If I go and get alcohol, are you going to ID me?
Yeah.
And I look at him up and I'm like, sir, your ID is right here. Your gray hair, you know, joking with him.
Uh-huh.
He starts laughing. He's like, you got a customer forever, right?
Uh-huh.
He goes in, he grabs his thing, we're, you know, continue to check him out. And he's like, just so you know, I had just left Walgreens because they ID'd me. They wanted to see my ID to purchase alcohol, which I understand the laws, but the laws say if under 40. So,
is it if you look under 40?
Yeah.
Is that what the law says?
Yeah. If that's where the judgment comes. That's where you get to judge. If they look
anything. Do ID me?
No.
Well, no. I was kind of hoping for a yes, but okay. No. All right.
So, here's the thing though. It's people forget that we're trained to figure it out, right? Like if Marcos came in, I would card Marcos.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Because he could be younger, he could be older, I don't know. If he came in 9 out of 10 times, he would probably get IT'd, you know?
Yeah, well, he is. Well, you just turned 21.
See? And so in my industry, we get a lot of undercover agents that would come in and try to act, you know. For example, 3-4 months before you turn 21, you still look like that. You look like you're 25, right? Right?
He's got the mustache,
you got the goatee, you look, you don't look under 21, right?
Dresses professional.
So they would send you in to try to mess with me and try to buy alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we would ID in that range. So this was actually a perfect example, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would ID him and he just turned 21. Do you see it? Like we're trained to they train us. We take trainings to learn about IDing and all that, right?
Not only to make sure you're covering the law, but to make sure that you're not getting busted. Kind of like us buying a radar detector. Like, I don't want to get a ticket, right? So I want to know that when I'm getting monitored, I'm driving the speed limit. Mm-hmm. When I see that the radar is detector is buzzing, I'm going the speed limit. But when I'm out there and in the desert, you know, let's get to where I'm going.
Right.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
So you worked a ton of hours, but what do you love about being a business owner? What do you hate about being a business owner? There's got to be something about the hate. The love, you got to have it, right? So I don't know. Is that the easier one to describe?
I guess, honestly, nobody ever is truly, truly, truly happy with what they are doing.
Okay.
It's really rare to find people happy with what they're doing, with their day-to-day, right?
Correct.
So for me to say if there's anything that I can hate, no. There really isn't. I love everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
I lead by example. I love my staff. They love me. We treat each other with so much respect. It reflects on our customers. You know, we have really good ratings. We're like four and a half stars on
nice.
Google.
Yeah.
200 plus reviews or whatever. And mind you, we're in a demographics that is old. They don't mm-hmm. use technology.
Right.
So the fact that I have such good ratings and reviews and all that, it's like.
Do you ask them?
No.
Really?
Never. Never.
You don't give them any type of like a coupon or something if they give you a review?
No. No. Huh. You know why? Because it's they do it out of the kindness of their heart.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to do it that I would prefer it that way because we don't do it because we want the recognition or anything. No, it's just we're generally good people. Mm-hmm. We're a locally owned mom and pop shop. We have to cater to our customers different than what franchises can because they're funded by
marketing,
stores throughout the nation. You know, they don't just have one market. They have several.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's different. I'm one store. So, you know, it's imperative for me to really, really treat my customers.
I'm going out on a limb when I go to a new name of a place that I don't know before. If I'm going to McDonald's, I know exactly what I'm going to get, right? But I don't know what I'm going to get the first time I walk into a Fortuna mm-hmm. Hills liquor. Right. Until I experience it.
Right.
And then when I experience it, people are, I think, nine times more likely to leave a negative review because of an experience than a positive review. So the fact that you get positive reviews, that's the 200 positive reviews that you got represents 2,000 mm-hmm. happy customers.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I know he's looking at is it hold me true to my statement. How many reviews did we have? I don't want to be wrong, but
he's
I want to
fact checker over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's why fact check me. Make sure I'm on it. I want.
You have 4.7 stars out of 228 reviews.
Okay, so we're there.
They're there.
So it's cool. And again, we never asked for any of this. We never asked for the recognition in that way.
Do you reply to your reviews?
I don't because literally all the people that are commenting mm-hmm. I have full long conversations inside my store. So I don't need to have that discussion online.
Interesting.
Because we interact with them in the store. We ask about how their day is going.
Mm-hmm.
We ask about what they had for dinner last night. We ask about what they're going to do later on, right? It's just a slow paced environment that we kind of, it's cool. It's nice for us because when we have 6-7 customers lined up, the back three are chit chatting, laughing to social club because they have, they're all going to end up at bingo together tonight anyways. They all know each other, too. It's cool because, again, you have these pockets within Foothills.
Mm-hmm.
You have these massive compounds, the RV parks, and just you have hundreds of people. And so they become a community. Actually, I was working with Fortuna de Oro. It's an RV park off of North Frontage Road between Fortuna and Foothills Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And super cool people. And they've been coming to me since I've opened. They hold this annual wine wobble. And what they do is they pick 12 lots within the RV park. And each lot is going to signify a country or a region. And that's where they have wine from those specific you know, country or some region in the United States, right?
Uh-huh.
Super cool. And 12 different lots. And what they do is they sell bracelets, right? It's only for Fortuna de Oro to keep it within the RV park, but it's just that small tight-knit community.
Yeah.
And they sell bracelets within to whatever, whoever that's within that RV park and they want to participate in the wine wobble.
Uh-huh.
They'll get a bracelet, and then they go from, you know, one house, you know, it's France, and then the next house is Germany, and then the next house is maybe a region in the United States, like, you know, Washington, Oregon, or whatever, right?
Okay.
Napa Valley, for example, or... so it's super cool. So they would just go from, you know, one house to the other. And I went the first year and it was such a blast.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
From the Saturday Evening Post, this is the Post Perspective for February 16th. Today in 1963, American philosopher Hannah Arendt published an article that changed people's thinking about Nazi atrocities. She wrote that they'd been committed by men like Adolf Eichmann, the Nazi architect of the Holocaust, then on trial in Israel. They weren't motivated by rage or sadism. Rather, they were dull, empty men who would advance themselves by blindly following orders. But in a Post article that year, the prosecutor in the Eichmann trial wrote that the prisoner had undergone numerous personality tests. The psychiatrist reading the tests was astonished. All the tests indicated here was a sadist with an insatiable urge to kill for power. The psychiatrist had never seen results of such strong homicidal urges. Where Hannah Arendt had seen a dedicated company man awaiting direction, the psychiatrist saw a ruthless killer. He made this conclusion without knowing Eichmann's identity. Now, stunned by such a vicious profile, he asked the prosecutor, "Who was this animal?" There's more from the Post at SaturdayEveningPost.com.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
When I was in Iraq, our convoy was hit. It was bad. After I came home, I could still hear booms and see tracer fire. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
With help from DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Today, I'm part of DAV. We're veterans helping veterans to get the benefits they've earned. And I give my veterans my all.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Naomi Mathis, thank you for your service. May your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD. And 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.